The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I don't need anger management. Do not. If people would be less irritable, I'd be fine. I think. Always look to the others to blame it, right? That's what you do. That is a trait of difficult people. The way I am is because of you. I'm Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. 877-573-7825, if you wish to be in. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. The program is a call-in program. I get an enormous number of query emails, contacts from publicists and people that are PR folk who say, got a great guest for you, got a great guest for you. You're my great guests. You call in. Question about your life, situations, circumstances, people. Doesn't always have to be a particular situation. We do get calls on other aspects. For example, general questions where faith intersects with psychology. Sometimes we get faith questions, believe it or not, and I'm no Jimmy Akin. I'm no Tim Staples. I'm no Father Bacqua. But every once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every so often. Also, we get questions that are general regarding psychology, development, intelligence, emotions, particular types of therapies, what do certain diagnoses mean. Now, obviously, given the format of a radio program, I can only educate. I can't do professional psychology in any stretch. But we can do what we can to help you out. And sometimes people will call in and offer their own thoughts, which can be very good. And if they're very, very good, I steal them. I gather them up. I put them in books. And I make a lot of money. Thank you very much. 877-573-7825. Now, I've just broke the main rule of radio broadcasting. I didn't even tell you my name. Ray Guarendi, that is me. Why do they call me doctor? Because I have a PhD in clinical psychology. Enough of that. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Miracles. Now, C.S. Lewis was a very, very prominent, most would say the most prominent, apologist for the Christian faith. He was not Catholic. I think he was Anglican. He was rather conservative Anglican now by today's standards, an apologist for the Christian faith. He was a convert from atheism. And he realized that the Christian faith had an awful lot of evidence speaking for it, an awful lot of logic about it. He died, I think in the 60s, would be my guess. Now, Lewis's book, Miracles, he wrote a lot of books. Probably he's most famous for a book called Mere Christianity. In the book Miracles, Lewis talked about one of the philosophies of science. Now, see, part of the problem with science is it gets confused with something called scientism. Scientism is a philosophy of science. It says essentially there is nothing but that which exists, you know, the whole universe, the shebang, the physical reality of what we can explore. That's it. We don't need God. We don't need souls. We don't need afterlife. We don't need all of these things that are supposedly beyond the reality that we understand. And since we understand more reality all the time, God just gets pushed further to the fringes as an idea. Lewis has a wonderful argument, I believe, for the idea that there is no God. Logic will take you to this conclusion if you say there is no God. That is, your brain chemistry is nothing but brain chemistry. That's it. There is no soul guiding it. There's no consciousness. There is no somebody called Ray Guarendi up in his mind that directs his brain. His brain is just chemicals. And they interact in a phenomenally complex way over trillions of neural connections. But in the end, it's just an incredibly sophisticated piece, if you want to call it, of machinery. Where does that idea take you? Well, it says, if there is nothing but randomness guiding those chemicals. Now, keep in mind now, I have no soul. Keep in mind that whatever I'm saying right now, however I'm thinking right now and talking to you, is nothing more than just my chemicals up there. In a way, kind of deciding to do what they want to do. I can't guide them because there's no I. It's just brain. So then, how do I know that what my random brain action is telling me can be trusted? It's just random. If I say, I've concluded that there is no God, if, in fact, that is the case, then my conclusion is brought about by my chemicals. My chemicals, if you will, have a mind of their own. And therefore, whatever they say, I don't know if I can trust. Because they're random. I can't direct them. Whatever is happening up there in my brain is on its own. Oh, I may think I can control it. It may even feel like I'm controlling it. But if there is no me over and above my brain to direct those chemicals, to decide what I want to say to you at this very moment, then how does it all come about? It creates an illusion that I'm thinking. Because I'm not directing anything. Seems like I am, doesn't it? Seems like I'm offering kind of logical thoughts, putting together ideas and notions to tell you right now. But how is that happening? You see, the idea of consciousness is something that has always perplexed people studying the brain. What is it? How, in fact, can I put together a logical stream of thought if my brain chemicals are acting on their own? What's doing it? What is making me link one idea with the next, with the next, with the next, and saying, therefore, this? How's that happening? Is there nothing playing that piano up there? I ran across an article I'm going to do in a future manologue. The article talks about how our feelings, our thoughts, are just neurological action. Now, that may be part of it. Obviously, that is part of it. Nobody's saying that the brain chemistry is not part of our thinking process. It is. But what directs that brain? If the brain is all there is, if there is no God, that means there is no soul. And if there is no soul, that means all I am is a brain. Some people might say I got ripped off. But how do I trust my brain then? My brain is chemicals at random. Now, I know some of you are thinking of some of the answers that I give you on this program. It sure seems like they are chemicals at random. But something has to be playing that brain. Something above the brain that's using it. Thoughts to ponder. That's Lewis's argument in the book Miracles. He says, if we're nothing but chemicals, there is no soul, there is no God, then how do we know we can trust the chemicals? How do we know we can trust the chemicals when they say there is no God? How do we know we can trust the chemicals on anything? They got minds of their own. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call if you would like to get onto this program.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
This month, you can bless Catholic mothers struggling to care for their families in developing countries. They spend hours collecting drinking water from rivers and often unsafe sources. With your support, Cross Catholic Outreach provides these women and their children with access to clean, safe water. Lift the poor's burdens, protect their health, and restore their hope. Call Cross Catholic Outreach at 888-766-2426 or visit crosscatholic.org/Ave Maria.
I have lost parts of my mind, but I'm sure, I'm pretty sure some of my kids took it. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In with my compadres, compatriots. Andrew Kruchek, producer man over there in Ann Arbor. Eric Dumont, first line call screamer. And, of course, the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio. They are the coordinators of this program. Heads out to over 400 plus stations, which means I have a total listening audience approaching 160 people. Ooh. And Sirius Satellite, Channel 130. It used to be a higher channel, much closer to my IQ, but 130 is it's close enough, maybe half the brain. Okay. Ben from New Hampshire has a very interesting, unsettling dream. You know, Ben, you come to a psychologist. We're really into dreams. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I figured.
What's up? Yes, sir. What's going on with this dream?
Yeah, so I'm a combat vet and diagnosed with PTSD and all that. And, you know, for the most part, it's pretty well managed. I'm not currently under anybody's care for it. And I have this recurring dream, happens a couple times a year, where I don't remember a murder, but I remember in the dream. I don't commit a murder in the dream, but in the dream I remember committing a murder. And the cops are after me, and, you know, I've got this, you know, this guilt of telling my wife about it, and, you know, she's going to be, you know, I'm worried about how disappointed she's going to be in me for, you know, murdering somebody.
Well, not as long as she's not the one you killed, right?
Right. Okay. And, you know, letting down my kids and, you know, the kids I work with and just all this stuff. And then the really rough part is that it persists into waking. Like, even right now, I had it last night, and even right now, it's got this, like, knot of worry and guilt inside me. When you know, I drove by, like, four or five cops today when I was running errands, and every time I was like, oh, is they going to follow me? Is this it? But, like,
you think they know about your dream, huh?
Say again?
You think they know about your dream.
Right.
Okay.
As soon as I think about it, I'm like, dude, you're being an idiot. Stop it. They're not, you know, you didn't do anything. It was a dream.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to tell you that. I'm supposed to say, Ben, it's just a dream. You're being an idiot. Stop it.
So, but that's the thing. Like, I'm telling myself that, and it's not working.
You know what? Well, you know why it's not working?
Why?
Because you're afraid of the dream.
Letters after my name?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. Yeah, you don't have the training in dreams that I do. You know why it's not working? Because you're afraid of the dream. Why are you afraid of that dream?
I don't know.
What's it mean to you? What are you telling yourself? That you're a crazy wacko?
That I still feel guilty about stuff that happened?
Well, I don't know what happened, but it doesn't surprise me that you'd have a dream like that, given that as an Army veteran, I don't know what you saw and I don't know what you had to do, but you were...
A lot of bad food.
Yeah, you were in circumstances that were life and death. So it doesn't surprise me that you'd have a dream about something like that. The problem is, the dream makes you think something is wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
What if nothing was wrong with you? What if you said, this is not totally unexpected? What do I think? I was in some really turbulent, emotionally draining, high-pitched situations, and now that I've come back to ground, it's no shock here that some of that could manifest itself in my dream world. I'm telling
so
you.
So kind
man,
of like acknowledge it and say, yep,
yeah,
that happened. The
yeah,
dream stinks. Move on.
Yes. If you are not, you know, it could be worse. I'm going to tell you something, Ben. You could be having a worse dream. You know what that would be? That would be like if you were still in college and you went to class to take the final and you hadn't been to class the whole time. Now, that's worse. I've had those all my life. And anybody who's gone to college has had that one. Two things you got to understand. One, obviously, your dream is not saying, Ben, you're messed up, man. You may think you're doing okay, but you're not. Your unconscious is telling you you're a wacko. All right, that's the first thing. That's that. That's really overinterpreting it, my friend. Two, if you say to yourself, okay, so I go to sleep. If I dream it, I dream it. So what? I'll wake up, and I'll be awake, and I'll be in reality and not in dream world. It's the fear of the dream that is keeping it fueled. If you don't fear it, if you don't overinterpret it, I think it'll go away. It may not totally go away. I mean, you may have it every so often, but you're not going to have this thing dominate your sleep life.
Right.
That's it. I like it. I'm telling you, call me in a couple weeks. Because this is very common. There's a whole bunch of areas we could go on about this. I put you down as a look back call because there's a bunch of stuff I wanted to address also, but don't have time because I've got other folks. Thank you for the call, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Rock on. Bye.
All righty. Thank you. Hey, you know that I thought about that. You know, Ben saying rock on because, you know, Catholics, we believe that Peter was the rock. Rock on. I like that. Yeah, right. See, this is why you don't run the show. My producer says, tell Ben not to sleep as much. This is why I'm the professional and why those guys are limited to screening the calls. We got some heavies up there, major heavies. Leonard from Oklahoma, tragedy situation. Hi, Leonard.
Hi. I hope you found the rest of your brain. You said your kids took it.
I'll tell you
really
what,
need it today.
They take half my stuff, and I don't know. If I lend them anything, I don't ever find it again.
That was beautiful the way you handled the last call. I hope you can help me. I'm just so angry. My wife committed suicide about a year ago, and she started drinking a little wine about 2 years before that, and it just got worse and worse, and she got really mean and just hateful, saying she's going to get me. Well, the suicide note says this is the only way I can get you to love me. And I was cleaning out her closet about 2 weeks ago, and I found a lockbox that had a lot of terrible pictures of her and another man. And I'm just so angry because she's dead, and I can't tell her. I can't reconcile. I need her help about this.
What do you need on that, Leonard? What do you need to reconcile?
I just keep thinking these thoughts constantly all day long about what a horrible person. How could that be? I've known her since I was 16. I'm 61 now. I mean, we've been together that long. And just, I guess, maybe forgiveness.
Let me throw out a few possibilities for you. If, as you describe it, your wife started drinking more. She started becoming more difficult in the relationship. Her personality was changing as you saw it, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, we don't know why that is. Obviously, I can't know why that is. Maybe your marriage was troublesome, getting rockier. Maybe she was having the very front end of an organic process. I don't know. I don't know what was going on. Maybe she decided that she can find her pleasure and happiness in a relationship outside your marriage. Again, I don't know that. What would be different, Leonard, if all of this would have happened, you found out about it, and she were alive? What would you do differently?
I would divorce her and go on with my life.
So you're saying that you would have a chance to even the score. You're going to do this, I'm going to do this.
So that's kind of looking like I'm egotistic, isn't it?
No, I can't go that far. I can't know that. But it sounds like you feel like you got ripped off and you can't do anything about it. Stay right there, Leonard. We'll talk some more on the other side of the break. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, 877-573-7825.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can my whole self to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Mother Angelica's classic talks on heaven have long been an EWTN family favorite. Now you can have Mother's beloved teachings at your fingertips with What is Heaven?
I got to get you to the place you want to think of the glory that is to come, the absolute joy.
What is Heaven by Mother Angelica, now available for the first time in print. Visit EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
You know, I was joining a lot of those anonymous groups. You know, this anonymous, that anonymous. I was in like 9 of them. I was in so many of those anonymous groups. Everybody knows who I am now. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, and I truly do appreciate it. I'm talking to Leonard. Leonard's got a very emotionally mixed situation. Leonard, still there?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He met his wife when they were 16. He's 61. Doing the math, 45 years. A year ago, she committed suicide. Prior to that, for some time prior to that, she had become more angry with Leonard. She had been drinking. Leonard really doesn't know the reasons behind the suicide, although he found a note that said she wanted to get even with him. He also found some very, very graphic pictures of her in another relationship. Now, right now, Leonard says all of this is eating him up, but he's more angry than anything else. Do I got that summarized right, Leonard?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. The first point before we took the break was that you were angry because you're helpless now. You can't do anything about it. She has done what she did, unfaithful, and in your mind, it was an attempt to hurt you, and you can't do anything about it. She has left this world. If she were alive, and that was the question I was headed for before the break, you said you'd divorce her. You said, I could at least say, okay, you do that to me, I'm going to do this to you, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. I think the first thing you got to get over is this idea that you need to even the score. In a marriage as long as yours, pretty obviously there could have been a lot of turbulence. And my guess would be, and I think it's on pretty safe ground, that your wife was extremely unhappy. Unhappy enough to take her own life. Had she been diagnosed with depression off and on through your marriage?
No, sir. She wouldn't go to counseling. I tried and tried to get her to go to Christian counseling. And she'd say, okay, we'll go. And I would set an appointment, and she wouldn't go. So this is like 2 years before.
Did she kill herself with pills?
Yes, sir. She sure did.
Okay.
And Leonard, that was prescribed by her physician, yeah.
What kind of pills?
Xanax and pain pills.
Well, the Xanax is basically something to deal with anxiety and to deal with emotional turbulence. Correct?
Yes, sir. And she was on Xanax for like 10 years.
Oh, now see what you just did? Leonard, I said, had she been struggling with depression? You said no. Wait a minute. Okay, the Xanax.
Well, anxiety and depression, are they two different things?
They go together often. Often go together, okay? Like a duo. So given that, is it safe to say she was probably pretty unhappy for quite a while?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Whatever the cause of that unhappiness is, I can't know. Okay, I can't be inside your marriage. I can't be in your history. I think for you to find some peace with this, I hesitate to use the word closure because that's such a overused word, but some peace with this, you got to let go of the idea that she did you wrong. You got to look at it like she was a very sad, unhappy, anxious woman who was looking for happiness in the wrong places.
And I was trying to be a people pleaser and trying to wave a magic wand, poof, you're happy. And I don't have that kind of power.
You don't have that kind of power at all, my friend. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Here's what you do. You pray for her soul. Say, dear Lord, have mercy on her. Pray for her soul. She was unhappy for a long time. Okay.
Can I be honest with you about something? I have not prayed for her soul yet.
Well, that's honest.
That's horrible.
Well, here's what you do. You don't wait until you feel like praying for her soul. You just say the words. You say, Lord, I don't feel like praying for her, but I'm going to pray for her anyway. Have mercy on her. That's all. Just make yourself say the words. You don't have to say, well, I feel those words. I really am grabbing onto those words. No, you don't have to do that. Say the words.
Oh, that's wonderful. Sure, thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. God bless you. Be at peace. All righty. Graduation time. Cindy is saying, what do you tell graduates? Graduation time. Well, one thing I know for sure, Cindy, and I got in trouble for this, because I gave a graduation speech to a bunch of graduates. I said, as I stood up there at the podium, this was some years ago, I said, the school is not allowed to pray for you. I am an independent contractor who was hired by this school. I have no affiliation with the school. So therefore, before I begin my speech, I would like to say a prayer for these graduates. And the whole place went crazy with applause. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Whole place. Don't you know, that was such an illustrative moment to me. Because whoever makes the decisions in our culture, the elites, decided, no, you know, you can't pray for these people. But that whole audience, and I can't, maybe there's probably a few in there that said that guy's a jerk, but that whole audience erupted because they wanted to pray for those kids. We have allowed ourselves to be run by people who have their superior ideas on how a culture should function. Okay, Cindy, sorry. Your question.
Yeah, Just wondering what your best advice is to those entering a new stage of their lives, being the graduation season and lots of changes coming up.
Don't get bogged down with college loans. Okay, no. But that would be one of the more practical ones, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think very much it would depend upon where the kid is right now. For example, if you have a religious kid and the kid is heading into an environment that is basically going to assault that religion with everything they got, okay, then I would tell the kid, you're going to have to understand your faith at a level you've never had to understand it before. Hold on 1 second, Cindy. You know that music. I'll be back. This is Dr. Ray.
Are you as confused due to the way the media dispenses information? I mean the overload, the sheer speed of it all. Take the recent Comey Sessions hearings. Now, my point here has nothing to do with politics and everything to do with complexity of the way the story is sold. Former FBI director testified about leaks and memos about leaking and vice versa. Then Mr. Sessions recalled recusing himself and is now doubling down on the Mueller investigation, made all the worse by the president's tweets in light of the accusations of collusion with Russia because of what Senator Feinstein said about the email server used during the Benghazi situation. Am I the only one lost in this tsunami of high-speed, half-baked information? Let's start with learning the founding principles of America before we jump onto the apocalyptic frenzy machine known as the media industrial complex. I'm Patrick Coffin of patrickcoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Is it impossible to live Jesus Christ's command that the marriage bond be indissoluble? No, says the Catholic Catechism. The Lord has not placed too heavy a burden on the shoulders of a married couple. By coming to restore the order of creation disturbed by sin, Christ himself gives the strength and grace to live marriage in the new dimension of the reign of God. By following Christ, renouncing themselves, and taking up their crosses, spouses will be able to receive the original meaning of marriage and live it with the help of Christ. St. Paul, in a letter to the Ephesians, emphasizes this when he admonishes men to love their wives as Christ loved the church. For this reason, Paul says, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarindi, thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I am talking to Cindy from Bismarck, North Dakota. She's asking the question, graduation coming around, what's the best advice for kids starting this brand new chapter in their life? You there, Cindy?
I am.
I would guess, as I said before the break, it would depend on the kid. First thing I would say to those kids of faith who have some left, they're heading off into an environment that is going to challenge, mock, argue against, ridicule, or at the least stifle any expression of that faith. They are going to be made to jettison their morals, to look at their parents as Neanderthal throwbacks from a time when people were unsophisticated. I would ask them, are you prepared for all this? Do you know your faith? And the vast majority of them don't. Okay, so what I would advise them is, how do you plan to stay stable in the beliefs that you have right now? That would be for kids of faith. For the kids not of faith or minimal faith or raised in nothing, I probably would ask them, you have an idea where you're headed? Do you know what you want? Do you have goals? Unfortunately, an awful lot of kids head to college just for the party experience, the college experience. You know, Cindy, about half of kids don't finish college on time.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And the percentage who drop out is very, very high. Very high. What's happening is that many of them are heading into college really with no idea what they want to do. I would also ask some of them, is college necessary? College has changed radically in 50 years. Radically. All right. And I would want to know where they're headed. I would want to know if they think they have to go to college to be a worthwhile human being. Or, in fact, could they work? Could they find something that right now would be much more satisfying for them? Right now, there's a mindset that says, well, you got to go to college. That's it. Got to go to college. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I remember my cousins. I had older cousins than me, and they went to college, and they were really the first ones of pretty much all our extended family that went to college, and they were heroes. That was a big thing, man. You went to college. Whoa. Graduated from college, you know. Wow. Well, I think something like 70% of graduates now go to college, and I'm not sure it's for all of them. Matter of fact, I know it's not for all of them. And did you know this? I know I'm meandering a little bit. 50% of kids are not working in the degree that they got their college experience in. 50%. Average student loan is close to $30,000. And much of those student loans are on the piggyback of jobs where this kid starts out at $28,000. So, in fact, I guess I would tell the kids, you know where you're going, or have you just been channeled? Where are you headed? The other thing I would say is this. When I went to college, I changed my major 3 times before I graduated. I started out in engineering, then prepared for a law career. As a senior, decided I was going to head into psychology. I changed my major 3 times. And I would tell the kids, how can you really know what you want to do at age 18? If you do, you're in the minority. I've always known I've wanted to be an engineer. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what an engineer was, Cindy. I got high math scores. So the guidance counselor at the school said, you should go into engineering. I said, okay, as long as I can live in one of those cabooses, that would be really cool. That's all I knew. You know, do those trains really go so fast up close? So I would tell the kids, how did you decide where you're headed? How'd you make that decision? That's what I'd want to know. Mm-hmm. Just a few thoughts thrown out there at random. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks,
talk to you. I'm glad. Have you graduated? You've graduated?
I think I have.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
I remember as a senior in college, I called my mother. Mom, I transferred from Case Institute of Technology to Western Reserve. I'm sorry. That's wrong. My memory is failing me. I was a sophomore. I was not a senior. Just a sophomore. My mom, at the time, and they were separate colleges on the same university. My mom at the time just basically said, well, okay. How'd you decide that, Raymond? And I told her. I said, engineering might not be for me, especially since I got a 31 on the physics semifinal. Man, you just can't pull out of a 31. When we come back, I want to talk to Nancy from Missouri. Another really treacherous, turbulent kind of situation. If you'd like to jump on the phone here, 877-573-7825. A lot of people have a mistaken notion that toward the end of the program, if they call in, they're just never going to get on. because they think, well, you take folks in the order they call. No, 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 you don't do that. I don't do that. Okay, there's some programs that do that. But the nature of this program is we weigh how we approach all the calls depending upon the situations, depending on a lot of factors. So it is not unusual that someone can call in the last 6 minutes of the program and immediately get on the air because of their question or because of a history or because of something unique to that call. I'm Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going
to
follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
This month, you can bless Catholic mothers struggling to care for their families in developing countries. They spend hours collecting drinking water from rivers and often unsafe sources. With your support, Cross Catholic Outreach provides these women and their children with access to clean, safe water. Lift the poor's burdens, protect their health, and restore their hope. Call Cross Catholic Outreach at 888-766-2426 or visit crosscatholic.org/Ave Maria.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com. Join today's discussion and engage with producers on the Ave Maria Radio Facebook and Twitter accounts at Ave Maria Radio. Respond to interviews and learn who's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, and other Ave Maria Radio programs. Make it easier by downloading the Ave Maria app on your smart devices. Then just tap on the Facebook and Twitter icons to get plugged in on the things that matter most. That's the Ave Maria Radio app or at Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nations.
Hear that little tongue trouble with the trumpet? Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. As we said, Nancy has found herself in a very ticklish, I would even go so far as to say untenable, situation because she's forced to look upon something that she can't really control. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. How can we help you?
Well, I have a 35-year-old daughter who, from the very beginning of her marriage, they got divorced, and they've lived, my daughter and my granddaughter lived with us. It always caused turbulence with the father, and finally one day the father told her she had to go out, leave the house. Her daughter chose to stay with us because she was in school. So she's out of the house for a year and a half. Now her daughter goes to visit her every weekend if she's not working.
But okay, wait a minute. Nancy, let me see if I want to make sure I got this right. Your granddaughter is still living with you. Your daughter moved out.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Anyway, now she does go and visit her mom every weekend as long as she's not working. Well, her mother's been giving her such anxiety, I don't know what to do with it. She told her mom she wasn't feeling good, and her mother said, well, you don't need to go to the doctor. So she came to me and told me, and I took her to the doctor, and she has a problem, so we're taking care of it. And her mother said, well, I'm not paying for your doctor bill or your medicine. So that's okay. We'll pay for it. The mother makes her feel like it's all her fault. Everything's her fault. And now she's threatening suicide. And I don't know how to talk to her.
I'm assuming you say, I don't know how to talk to your granddaughter.
I don't know how to talk to either one of them at this point.
Well, it sounds, dear, like your daughter is an emotionally struggling individual in a lot of ways, right? She always has been, right?
Yes, I do agree with that. But there's nothing we can do to make her... Go ahead.
It's so hard for parents to accept that when their kids become adults and make decisions, a lot of which are incredibly self-defeating, that you can't do anything about it. I would focus on helping your granddaughter understand that she's not responsible for anything her mother does, even something dramatic. She's not responsible for any of that. And you're going to have to support her because it sounds like mother is very good at making her feel terribly, terribly guilty and responsible. So it sounds like to me, is that so?
Yes, you hit it on the nose. But we've been trying to tell my granddaughter it's not her fault. Don't let mom get to you. But she has such anxiety that I'm going to take her to counseling because I don't know what else to do.
Well, that might be a smart move. That might be a smart move.
I don't want her to be... Thank you. But I was wondering what I could do to talk to my daughter about it.
Well, obviously, have you talked to your daughter before? And you said, hey, you're messing her up. You're giving her a lot of anxiety she doesn't deserve. You've probably done that, haven't you, Nancy?
Yes, I have.
What you're saying is, how do I
get mad at me?
Right. How could I convince my daughter? Well, you've already spoken to her multiple times. At some point, you say, I cut my losses. You might want to tell your daughter, your granddaughter, do you feel you have to go visit her?
She does. She's afraid her mother's going to do something stupid. And it'll be her fault. That's what she tells us.
I'll tell you what, that's just putting a kid in an absolutely unbearable situation. I think you just have to continue to reiterate, you are not responsible for your mother's well-being. You're a child. You're a kid. You continue that.
We've been doing that.
You know,
we have been doing that.
What you're saying is, you know, I have a situation similarly in my own life where a young girl is manipulated by a relative and she hasn't been able to pull free of that relative completely. And that relative makes her feel terrible and wretched for all of the things that she supposedly falls short on. And this particular relative is mean about this. She's so self-centered and so self-absorbed that all that matters is her feelings. So continue to tell your daughter, yeah, get her into counseling, because I am sure that's a theme that the counselor will over and over and over talk about with your granddaughter, that indeed you are not responsible for the kinds of things your mother says and may do. You're not.
Oh, we've been trying that. That's why we're going to go to counseling, because I don't know how to convince my granddaughter.
Well, you may not ever be able to. That's the thing. Okay? And you almost have to hope and pray that your daughter doesn't do anything incredibly self-defeating, so that as your granddaughter gets older, she can see things with more clear eyes. The younger the kid, generally, the more easy they are to manipulate.
Well, I think I know that's right, because she was first, my granddaughter first was like, well, maybe I should just go live with my mom. But then when the mother said, no, I'm not taking you to a doctor and I'm not going to buy you your medicine, then she said, Mimi, I think I need to stay here, because how am I going to get better if I don't get what I need? And we said, that's no problem. You could stay with us and you could, you know.
There you go.
She now drives, so
it's
she
good.
Can get
it's
to
good
her
she's
mom.
With you, dear. I got to run. The show's going to stop me here in about 20 seconds. You know what to do. You got to do it. This is Dr. Ray. I appreciate the company. I appreciate Andrew Krucek and Eric Dumont and all of you. Thank you for joining me. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. It's your permanent walk. Keep your kid with you. If you can.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.